Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Oh my gosh, do you hear that?
Yeah,
there's a knock on my door.
Who
Hello,
is it?
Who's there?
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh my gosh. An old man with a beard is at my door.
Oh my
Who
god,
are
what's
you?
He wearing? What's he wearing?
Merry Christmas.
He's wearing like a red. What kind of fabric is that? Like a red velvet? Is it velvet? Sure.
I don't know.
A red
I've never
velvet suit. You don't know? With white trimming.
You don't
sir,
know.
Sir, what do you want?
I have presents to give you.
What is it?
An episode of your podcast, a Christmas episode.
Wow.
Wow.
That is literally
Merry
so
Christmas
nice.
Christmas to all of us.
Wow, that kind stranger giving us this episode of Glee.
Oh, and he just hopped on the back of a reindeer and is flying away into the ocean. Bye, mysterious man.
Just one reindeer? What was his name?
Just Blitzen.
I literally knew you were going to say Blitzen.
Thank you. It's because it's the one that was there, and you saw it
literally,
over the webcam.
Yeah. I did That's see why it over the webcam. Patreon-exclusive friends will know. The people who are watching the Patreon video know, because we saw Blitzen.
If you want to see a mysterious old man with a white beard and a red suit riding on a reindeer named Blitzen, subscribe to our Patreon.
Literally.
The footage is there.
And it's real and undoctored.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
One, two, three,
Sinkaroni
for Christmas.
Whoa.
I want a Sinkaroni for Christmas. Only a Sinkaroni will do. No clap at the same time. No snap either. I want a Sinkaroni to something and enjoy. I can see me now on Christmas morning turning on the Skype call.
Whoa.
Oh, what joy and what surprise when I say we had that we should sync up and we both say Sinkaroni at the same time. I want a Sinkaroni for Christmas. Only Sinkaroni will do. That was so well thought out, and I planned all those lyrics beforehand, and they all made sense.
Oh, yeah, totally. Honestly, they made sense to me. I totally understood exactly what you were saying.
Thank you. Well, happy holidays, everyone. Bah humbug. No, that's too strong, because it is our favorite holiday.
It is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to hear what truly is a Christmas miracle, Lena?
What?
The fact that we love to do a bit on this podcast, and by bit I mean not a bit because it's true every time, where we take whatever episode we record at the end of December and we pretend that it's a Christmas episode of Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And Santa really said, I'm giving you the gift of talking about appropriate things at appropriate times this year. You're actually going to cover a Christmas episode of Glee at the end of December.
That was wild. I've never understood.
First time it's ever happened.
I know. And like, this is the last holiday episode of this show, which is insane.
Sure.
How did it work out that way? The Glee gods have looked down on us today.
For real, for real. Thank you, Santa.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you, Blitzen. Oh my god. We've got some things to discuss before we get into this episode. January 29th. I think that's a Sunday. We are hosting a 54 Below show. What kind of 54 Below show, you're asking? Hello, Guggly One! Alex and I did it last time, and it was so well-received. People enjoyed it so much that we're going to do it again. And a little birdie on a little ship told me that Ian might be off that ship and maybe in 54 Below.
So yeah, January 29th, as Lena said, it is the sequel. It's 54 Below presents the music of Glee, the Squeakquel, mm-hmm. hosted by maybe some people you've heard of who maybe have a Glee podcast.
Maybe. And then someone who is our enemy, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe an enemy of that podcast. And also we'll featuring maybe a ton of Glee TikTokers that you might or might not be familiar with. Glinfluencers,
as we like to call them. Oh my God. It's truly Glee Endgame that night.
It honestly, it is. It's the portal scene in Endgame with every Glee micro niche celebrity who has never been involved with the actual show itself showing up together. So if you're in New York City, or if you're going to be in New York City at the end of January, come check us out, baby.
Yeah. But if you cannot be in New York City, there's going to be a live stream as well. You can find all that information out. You can buy tickets on 54below.com. We'll post some links to it. It'll be a grand old time. A little birdie also told me that we're singing, so that'll be fun. I'll go, I think I might be singing Christmas rapping. Oh my God, could you imagine? That'd be everything. I'm not singing Christmas rapping.
Way to get our hopes up just to dash
down. I know,
them.
That was so rude. You know, Heather Morris will do it for next month.
She's That's coming. She told me personally.
Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
She's not. Everyone, don't get excited.
Yeah, don't get excited.
Well, hello everyone. Happy holidays. I am Santa's favorite helper, Ian Allred. And also, don't know if you've heard, but I'm a Gleek.
What the heck? Oh my God. Well, you're Santa's favorite helper. You know whose favorite helper I am? My name Krampus. Is Lena Knatzer. I was going to say Mrs. Claus, but that's better. I'm Krampus' favorite helper. Yeah! And I'm also, hear me out, a little birdie told me that I'm a Gleek too.
Lena.
Krampus.
How's your Christmas season? How's Christmas in New York? That's a song, right? Is there a song called Christmas in New York?
I think you literally texted me those exact words. Let me look it up for you. Oh my God, there's a song called Christmas in New York by none other than Lea Michele. Thanksgiving Day's been put away. Sorry.
Well, how is it just like that song? How's Christmas in New York?
Christmas in New York is good. I am a worker bee, so I go to work every day, but honestly, it's nice. It hasn't snowed yet as of today, December 10th, so it still feels like autumn. But I think I've mentioned this before. I think like being so far away from home, I've kind of like gotten more into the Christmas spirit. Like we decorated the house. I bought a lot of Christmas books to read. It's going well. It's going well. My parents, oh my God, God bless them. They are coming to visit over Christmas, and I'm so excited to see them.
Oh, that's nice.
I love you, Mom, Tom. Yeah, they're coming out, and we're going to, like, I'm working, like, seriously most of that week, but they're good on their own. They'll have fun, and I'll see them, you know, as much as I can, and we'll spend, like, Christmas Day together, so I'm really excited. How's your Christmas going on the boat?
Christmas on the boat's cool. They like decorated. They have decorated the boat more than I anticipated that they would. So that's nice. We got a lovely tree in the piazza, which is the kind of main area on the ship. And then there's like wreaths in the dining areas, and they have garlands everywhere. So that's all really lovely. And I've been trying to decorate my cabin, but it's hard because Mexico doesn't have a ton, like the places that I go in Mexico don't have a ton of cheap Christmas decorations. They have like full trees, but I'm not getting a full tree. I just want like dollar tinsel, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And then when we're in LA, it's just so expensive to pay for cars to drive you everywhere. So I went to like CVS and I got some cheap lights and like one thing of cheap tinsel, but I wanted like a mini tree that I could decorate or stuff like that. But I went to CVS and they didn't have it. And then I was like, I'm not dropping $20 more to go to Target to then buy them at Target. So when I get off the boat today, I'm going to try. I'm maybe going to go to Target today and see if I can find anything. But it's going well.
Good.
I'm trying to do a little Christmas Eve. We're having a Christmas variety show that we're like performing for guests on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Awesome.
Me and my friend Mary Margaret are in fact singing, not to name drop her again, but the Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff version of I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Oh, hell yeah.
I promise that I'm not actually this Glee obsessed in real life. I may run a Glee podcast, but the reason we're singing that cover is not because it's Lea Michele. It's because it's a duet version of that song. And we wanted to do a duet, and we didn't want to do Baby It's Cold Outside because everyone and their dog does that song.
Yeah.
And then we found this one, and it was a beautiful arrangement. So, woo!
Are you ready to get in this episode?
Heck yeah. Heck born ready.
Hell yeah. Let me tell you some glacks.
Oh yeah, it's time for the
holiday glax.
Holiday glax. Put in some. Oh my god, you literally have the jingle bells in your hand. I was just gonna say, put in some jingle bells.
There's a woman on the ship this cruise who is like eating up our shows like their Christmas dinner. Topical, literally front row every show, gives a standing ovation. Not to every performance, to every individual song, gives it a standing ovation.
Oh, I love.
And there's also another man, unrelated, who keeps, after every song, standing up and going, Bravo! Bravo! But they're very sweet, but she bought the entire cast these little Christmas hats with jingle bells on them.
That is the sweetest.
Because she knew that I hosted an auditory art form, and she said, I'll give you some holiday noises.
She said, that guy looks like a Foley artist.
She knew.
I went on a cruise with my family, and there was a Beatles cover band on the cruise, and me and my mom and sister ate that shit up, and we like stood front, we were like on in the front row of the cruise, and it was like in the seated area, and they're like, stand up if you want, and me and my mom and sister heard that, we like shot up, and we were like singing along to every song, and it felt like, I was like, I have turned into those old ladies who like, you know, freak out for cruise performers. Cause I was like, this is everything. I was like jumping up and down. We were having a blast. Good I don't know what anyone else was you. Doing. It was so fun.
Good for you. My thing on cruises, I'm like, you're never going to see any of these people
again.
I know.
Why are you so embarrassed? You're on vacation.
Seriously, like, just have a good time. Who cares? No one's going to know that you popped your pussy to a Beatles cover band. Like, you can
frankly,
live anonymity.
Frankly, everyone should know. Everyone should know.
But, like, just
guys,
have fun. Why
Beatles
do you think you're
here.
Above the things that are happening on this ship?
I know. I was also like, it's literally the Beatles. Beatlemania runs through all of our bones. And half of y'all asses were there. Get up and
seriously.
Dance.
I know who the target audience is for cruises. You are not young. I know you were the girl screaming at these concerts.
I know. I'm like, let's fulfill your inner children right now. Let's pop our pussies to When I'm 64. Let's go. Anyway, holiday edition. Jingle bells, please. Previously unaired Christmas is the 8th episode of Glee's 5th season and the 96th episode overall. It premiered on December 5th, 2013. It was the last episode before the mid-season break, which Glee returned on February 25th, 2014, after the fall hiatus. So yeah, mid-season finale. This episode was directed by Wendy Stansler and written by Ross Maxwell. I heard that name and I was like, is that person from RuPaul's Drag Race? It is not.
Matthews, baby.
Ross Matthews, thank you. I was like, oh my god, Ross Maxwell. This is someone who just works on
Glee. It was written by Michelle Visage.
I was like, oh my god, I love you, Michelle. Okay, let's talk about the songs. We have ton of bangers here. We've got Here Comes Santa Claus, open parentheses, Down Santa Claus Lane, by Gene Autry, performed by Kurt, Rachel, and Santana. Then we've got Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, originally by Brenda Lee, performed by the New Directions and Will Schuster. We've got Mary's Little Boy Child, originally by Harry Belafonte, but it's the Bonnie M version, performed by Marley, Tina, and Unique. This is the last time Marley sings in the entire series. The cost, I know, isn't that sad? Last time. Anyway.
Wah,
wah. Wah, wah. The costumes that they wear pay homage to the ones worn in the music video of the Bonnie M version. Then we've got the Chipmunk Song, open parentheses, Don't Be Late, close parentheses, originally by a little band, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're called Alvin and the Chipmunks.
We referenced Alvin and the Chipmunks earlier on accident. That, the squeakle reference, was not planned.
It was
just
planned.
Got Alvin on the brain.
Literally, I've constantly got Alvin on the brain. I don't even think I ever saw the squeakle.
I refuse to watch those movies. I have no interest.
I did watch them because I was a child when they came out. Don't hold that against me. And also, like, I also think I loved Matthew Gray Goobler growing up because I was a big Criminal Minds tween. Uh-huh. So I was like, I gotta see the show of this because he plays Theodore.
Who plays the human? Who's the man? I also never watched the guy from My Name is Earl show. Like,
I don't know.
I know nothing about Alvin and the Chipmunks. Is it Earl from My Name is Earl?
Yeah. I don't know his name.
Okay. Continue. Sorry.
That's okay. By Alvin and the Chipmunks, performed by Cody Tolentino, Kurt, Rachel, and Santana. Then we've got Love Child, originally by The Supremes, performed by Unique, Marley, Tina, and the rest of the New Directions. And then we've got Away in a Manger, originally by Traditional, performed by Kurt, Rachel, Santana, and the New Directions. My favorite band.
About time they're doing a traditional song on here. We constantly are doing these tribute episodes, and I'm like, when are we doing a tribute episode to the best band of all time, Traditional?
Traditional. Literally, I said that too. I heard the opening chorus, and I said, oh my god! Finally, a traditional song.
Finally, Traditional. I love them.
Freaking frick. I'm so excited to hear a traditional song. All right, let's hear the rest of the Glax, shall we? This episode received a whopping 1.13 rating with a total of 3.29 million viewers. This is the first and only Christmas episode in which Kurt and Blaine do not sing a duet. During the airing of this episode, using the app Shazam, it would give you a free song, Away in a Manger, from the album. Isn't that fun?
By Traditional.
I know. I'm so glad. Like, and honestly, I'm glad that, like, Traditional is, like, getting that exposure, too. I think that would, like,
I know.
It's, like, a free song.
They've been underground for so long, and it's just really exciting to finally see them have mainstream success.
I know. I mean, and thanks Shazam for that. Sponsored by Shazam. Seriously. Thanks so much. In the Australian airing of this episode, the part where Santana tells the child that an iPad would be better because he can't watch porn on the laptop that he asks for, that line was cut. In the opening, Sue hangs a stocking that says Merritt Weaver written on it. This is because Weaver beat Jane Lynch for supporting actress in a comedy in the 2013 Emmy Awards. Loves it.
I was like, is there a joke here that I'm missing? That's very funny.
That's
there
the joke.
There was a joke there that I was missing.
Yeah. That's that joke. Glad I said it. This is the first holiday episode in which the title card of the episode doesn't change. So usually it like turned red or green or like, I don't know, had jingle bells on it. I don't remember what they used to look like. Something like that. But this one is just the regular one. Interesting. This episode features the most songs performed in full in a single episode with 3. Dark Around the Christmas Tree, the Chipmunk Song, open parentheses, Don't Be Late, close parentheses, and Away in a Manger. fun.
And thank goodness, because if they had the audacity to cut a single word from the Chipmunk song, Christmas would have been canceled.
I thought you were going to say Santa's about not my coming favorite this band, year, sorry. But that's honestly that too. Come on. I need to hear, I still want my hula hoop. Like, come
seriously,
on.
Seriously, if I don't hear that two times, then I don't know if he actually wants it that much.
I
want
to play that loops the loop, you know? Like, especially because I think it's so special because the, you know, the lyrics are really, they don't change in the second verse. So I think it's important that we hear them twice, you know? Like,
yes.
It's kind of like in Shakespeare where, like, you know, he says things multiple times, so you get it in your little pea brain.
Exactly. It's the same thing with this song. I have been saying that Alvin and the Chipmunks are the Shakespeare of our generation for years.
Yeah. I've always said that.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my gosh.
So glad they didn't cut a single the industry. Word. Yeah, I know. According to Jane Lynch, this episode was initially entitled Rough Trade Santa. And this is the last holiday-themed episode of the entire series.
Okay.
Dun, dun, sometimes. Dun, dun.
Is there a source for that according to Jane Lynch Glacht? Or did they just write it? Because sometimes people put stuff on Glee Wiki. Sometimes people put stuff on Glee Wiki that I'm like, I don't think you understood that was a joke.
Oh, you know, I don't, it doesn't say, it doesn't have like a link to anything.
I'm pretty sure that it's just because of the beginning of the episode, Jane Lynch as herself does that meta bit about, this was supposed to air last year and it was called Rough Trade Santa. I think whoever wrote that on Glee Wiki just didn't understand that was a meta joke and not the gospel truth.
You know, that's interesting because whoever read that on the podcast Recovering Gleek, I don't think understood that it was just a meta joke as well. So interesting. Super duper.
But you were just taking what Glee Wiki told you.
I know.
You were
I didn't think twice about it.
You were lied to. The person who wrote it is the liar. They're the culprit.
Shoot. Yeah, literally.
But yeah, every once in a while there's a Glacht in there that I'm like, I think you maybe didn't understand what this person meant when they said this. That is clearly not the actual truth.
Yeah.
All right. What? Can I do this as a chipmunk? What a plane that loops the loop. Me, I want a recap. We
can hardly
stand the wait. Wow, that was horrendous to listen to. Please recap, don't be late. What would you do if I just pulled out helium and committed fully to that bit?
I'd be like, you're going to have a huge headache.
Here we go. Here's what you missed on Christmas Glee. It's 2012 Christmas again. Santana visits New York, where she, Rachel, and Kurt get a job at the mall as Santa's elves, only to invite sexy Santa back to their apartment and get robbed blind. McKinley hosts a green Christmas tree decorating contest, which Tina and Sam are determined to win, and the New Directions search for a Virgin Mary for their living nativity, which Marley is determined to give to Kitty. Once Kitty refuses to audition because she feels, quote, more like Mary Magdalene than the Virgin Mary, the club stages an offensive rehearsal for the nativity to convince Kitty to step in and fix it. The Glee Club wins the Christmas decorating contest, but gives the prize to Becky and offers her the part of baby Jesus in the nativity. And that's what you missed on Christmas Glee.
Super duper. Literally, I had to laugh because the way you were holding your little hat with the jingle bell was so funny. It looked like you were like reared back to punch me. You're just like, and your fist was just shaking. I took a picture.
I needed to keep it farther away from the microphone than my mouth so that it didn't draw me out.
I understand.
I'm a Foley artiste.
I know. And at first I was like, is he just, like, did he forget that it's in his hand and he's just shaking? He's just
reading so fast. I'm just so nervous. I'm just so nervous to read the recap.
Honestly, I get that. I get that.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Tell me what you thought about this episode in three words or less.
Oh, three words or less.
Bah humbug. No, that's too strong. Because it is my favorite holiday.
That was more than three, but I hear you. Big man.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I watched it last night, and as soon as I turned the TV off, I went, what the fuck happened in that episode?
Here's the deal. I liked it more than I thought I was going to, though.
I'm glad.
And I think a pattern that I'm noticing with season five is maybe, like, I feel like with season one of the show, and especially with season two, I was such, to steal a line from the Christmas canon, a Grinch about so many episodes of Glee, because season one and season two have so many...
Christmas canon. I like that.
Season one, thank you. Those early seasons have so many episodes that are, like, very iconic, and people always talk about how amazing they are. Yeah. And so, because of that, I kind of came into a lot of those episodes, like, grumpy, that I was like, why does everyone like this so much?
Almost like, to steal another word from the Christmas canon, almost like a Scrooge as well.
Exactly. I would say bah humbug every time I watched them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with season five...
No, that's too strong.
Exactly. I feel like with season five, I'm having the opposite problem, which is so many of these episodes have an absolutely terrible reputation that I go into them expecting to hate them. And then I'm like, it wasn't good, but like, it wasn't as bad as I was made to think it was going to be. So in reality, I think realistically, I should hate this episode. I think, like, when stacked up against, you know, like season one or season two of Glee, it's kind of a stinker. But because I have heard endlessly about how bad this episode is, when I watched it, I was like, I mean, it's definitely not good, but, like, is it that bad?
No. Yeah, I totally get that. Frankly, I think this episode is, like, pretty middle of the road, which is, like, pretty good for the flack that it gets, I think. And I don't know. It carries on this tradition in this episode that I really like right now, where it just is like, this show is so inconsequential right now, and we are so at our wits' end. Let's just, like, throw all the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. Like, the jokes about how, like, Santana is getting Rachel a binder of JetBlue vouchers, and, like, you know, just, I don't know, the jokes in this episode
are very funny. The McKinley tradition of having an annual tree decoration contest, even though we didn't do it last year. Or the year before that, or the one before that.
Yeah. Like, leaning into the fact that this show, like, we know that this show doesn't make sense. Let's just kind of have some fun. And I respect that about this episode. I don't love this episode. And especially, like, it is so inconsequential that it's almost, like, hard to think about, you know? Because it's not canon, I guess. But there's really nothing in this episode that, like, needs to be canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, you know, so it's, like, just super inconsequential to the show.
I'm all for a Christmas special that doesn't, like, further the main plot. We talked about this extensively, especially in A Very Glee Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm a person who's very pro, like, this episode should move the story along, yada, 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 except for a holiday special. A holiday special can just be its own thing. Who cares? So I'm not, like, mad that, you know, this is a weird out of canon. It takes place in December of season four, like, whatever. I do think, though, if they were going to do that idea, if they were going to be like, okay, canonically in Glee right now, it's springtime because our timeline is so messed up. How do we do a Christmas episode? Let's pretend that we made an episode in season four that never aired and we're re-airing it now.
Exactly.
If they were going to do that, I wish that they had gone, like, whole hog with it, you know? I wish that it was like so ridiculous and so crazy, and there were like more jokes about the fact that Britney isn't there, because like, why isn't Britney there? Yeah. And there was more jokes about like Joe and Sugar and how they're both mm-hmm. missing and why aren't yeah. they? Like, I wish that they had really, and they'd really leaned into what was happening at that time period during Glee. Because like, mm-hmm. canonically right now, the Glee Club is disbanded. The Glee Club doesn't exist in yeah. December of season 4. I just think they do it a little bit. There's a few moments of it, but I think it would have been more fun if they had gone full ridiculous, had as much fun as they could have had with the concept of there's literally no consequences to this episode because it doesn't take place in the main yeah. timeline, and just really gone meta with the jokes of mm-hmm. where it's taking place in the timeline, and then really gone absolutely crazy with like the craziness in the episode.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like
this episode could be crazier if they wanted to make it crazy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Love Child is definitely fun. I definitely have a good time, and it definitely yeah. like is offensive, but it's a weird thing for me to say. I'm like, is it offensive enough?
No, honestly, I was thinking, well, I mean, maybe this just like is because I'm just not a Christian, but I was like, is this offensive? I'm, you know,
like,
it was just mostly like very fun to me.
Yeah, like, I do understand that if I were to see a real nativity where, you know, they had Mary sing Love Child, I would be like, this is a little disrespectful. This is a little offensive. Like,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching it on a TV show where it's literally supposed to be offensive, that their mm-hmm. idea was we need to do something that's so sacrilegious that Kitty will want to take over the production. I'm like,
yeah.
honestly, you guys, you're playing it safe here. Like, you need to up the ante on this.
It's also like on TV. So, you know, I don't want them to be like too offensive, you know, like.
Well, and I think here's the deal. I think offensive is probably the wrong word. I don't need them to, you know, like, deface Christ.
Sure.
But, like, it could have been gaudier. It could have been more ridiculous is the word I'm looking for. It should have mm-hmm. been more ridiculous yeah. than it was. It's, like 50% ridiculous. I want, like, full 100% ridiculous.
Yeah. It is a very ridiculous and a very very fun part of this episode that I really love.
Yeah. I just didn't like, Kitty talks about how it's the most profane horror show she's ever seen, and I was like, it wasn't that extreme.
It was pretty
fun. Like, it wasn't that crazy, but okay, sure. Anyways, all this to say, I wish the whole episode had been a little more ridiculous than it was.
Yeah. There are things that happen in this episode that are like so preposterous to me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, can you believe this happened on this show? I cannot believe I'm watching this. But, I mean, it's so inconsequential to the plot that it's hard to even recall what happened. You know what I mean?
Well, let's start recalling, baby.
Hell
recall
yeah,
la 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 la.
Where do you want to start?
First
Lima
off,
or New York?
Before we get to Lima or New York, I do want to do a tip of the hat to, I do think the idea of doing an episode that you're pretending never made it to air and you're re-airing now
is really funny.
Is a funny way to work around the problem of how do we do a Christmas episode when it's not Christmas time in the show.
When it's canonically like April, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Jane Lynch monologue at the beginning is very funny. Her introducing herself mm-hmm. as I'm America's Jane Lynch. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And also her having an offhanded comment about how they had to cut out several scenes explaining why Will Schuster gave up his Washington dreams to go back to teaching his team of miscreants and weirdos
mm-hmm.
is a funny and also a genius way to be like, we know that Will was in Washington during this time period. We don't care. He's here in this episode.
Also the joke of they cut the whole plot of Blaine being obsessed with Yule logs. You know who is obsessed with Yule logs right now?
You?
Me.
Ayo.
I'm obsessed with Yule logs right now. I was like, oh my God, that is too funny. Give me the plot, cowards.
Okay,
but,
Miss
yeah,
Blaine
no.
Anderson.
That's the thing. I agree. Like, the idea of this episode is so funny. And honestly, like, thinking back, I don't even know that I understood what they meant. Like, I think I understood, like, you know, in concept, but not really, like, you know, how clever that is when I saw it when I was a kid, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm into it. I'm into this whole idea. But it's also like, let's talk about it.
Okay. I vote New York first.
Talk about New York first.
Christmas in New York. I swear there's a song about that. I can't think of
what it is.
I
just showed it to you. It's by Lea Michele.
It's Lea Michele. That's right. All right. So Christmas time in New York, Santana is visiting because during this time period in the show, mm-hmm. she wasn't living there. And Rachel has all these crazy schemes all of a sudden that she's getting them all these Christmas time jobs and they're going to work as elves at the mall. And then when that doesn't work out, they're going to work as living mannequins on like Fifth Avenue at some Christmas store.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they go be elves at the mall. What are your thoughts? What do you think of this plotline, Lena?
This plotline is funny in concept because, like, you know, seasonal work is a funny thing. Like, mm-hmm. someone's got to be the elves for Santa. Someone's got to be the living mannequins at Saks Fifth Avenue or wherever they are. And, like, that is something that I feel like a bunch of actors do here in town where they just, like, get silly seasonal jobs because it's, like, you know, low commitment. So I like it. I think it's funny in concept. This part of the episode is not my favorite just because it got a lot of groans from me and I was just like, okay, like what's going on here? Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't like this plot. Is it my least favorite of the episode? Yes. I genuinely setup. I genuinely had to think about it. It is definitely my least favorite. There is something in this episode, in this plot line, that is very controversial that we'll get to when we get to that part. But even besides that, it's just like a snooze to me.
Yeah, totally. It's unfunny. The jokes are all the same and weird.
I agree with you that it is a fun idea to be like, let's have them get seasonal work because, like, actors in the city, that's a pretty common thing to do. The trope of, oh, we're mall elves and Santa is drunk and now we don't have a Santa Claus and the kids and their parents are pissed is so overdone. And honestly, if you can, like, find an original twist on it, then go ahead and do it. Who cares? But I feel like the twist that Glee puts on it isn't interesting enough to me to justify it. So I'm just like, I've seen this plot 1,000 times. I don't care. Them performing Here Comes Santa Claus, for me, a snooze. What about you?
Yeah, huge snooze. Nightmare. Huge snooze.
Honestly, you can feel in this whole episode, Ryan Murphy really sat down, looked at the Christmas catalog, and went, oh crap, we've already done 98% of these songs.
Literally. And like all the toe tappers, you know?
Seriously.
These ones are like, Here Comes Santa Claus, like, get the heck out of here. I'm done. You know, like, not even the most fun song about Santa, you know?
For real. And, like, no hate to this song. This is a really fun song to, like, Christmas carol, you know? But it's never one that I'm listening to the radio and it comes on and I'm like, crank it, here comes Santa Claus.
I'll be like, bump it up, let's go. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, come on. It's bland. I don't like this number.
Yeah.
They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, it's just, they all look so cute. Their little outfits are adorable. Kurt's like little like curl, like, you know, his little like elf curl with his hair is very cute. They all look adorable. It's just like, I even think like Santana coming to be Mrs. Claus is like, you know, as beautiful and funny as she is, like supremely unfunny. Like the jokes are all the same. I said that before, but they're all the same and they're not funny. And it's also like, where are their bosses? Like, why is it their responsibility to like deal with this? Like this, like the stakes feel out of place here. You know, got this job a day ago.
I don't care about their bosses not appearing because I don't need that kind of realism in this world. And sure. Also, like, it would be boring if their boss just showed up and was like, well, I guess it's canceled. But I agree. It's just, I don't know. Nothing that happens while they're at the mall is exciting to me. And then we get Sexy Santa showing up to save the day. Fun fact, Sexy Santa is played by Bryce Johnson, who played Josh in the Ryan Murphy TV show Popular back in the 90s.
Mm, you love Popular?
So it's a little,
do you love Popular?
I do love Popular.
Yes, I remember.
And Ryan Murphy plucked him out of the Ryan Murphy songbook and said, boop, you're Sexy Santa now, baby. Get back in that show.
Get back in that
show. So we got Sexy Santa. He saves the day. Everyone has the hots for him because didn't you know he's sexy? Also, like,
did he save the day? Because I don't think he was Santa. I think he was just like, let's grab dinner later. See you later. And then leaves.
I thought that he finished out the day and then they went back to the apartment.
Honestly, did he? Oh my God. Maybe.
This episode is so unclear. Anything could have happened with that man.
I know. Because honestly, I thought he walked away.
I don't know. All I know is that cut to he's at their apartment. Did he save the day? Was he mall Santa? Who knows? Did all the kids just go home without saying Santa? Who knows? Anything could have happened in that stretch of time.
Yeah.
He does make a genuinely nice meta reference, one that got at least a smile from me, which is commenting on how huge their apartment is, considering that they're struggling actors. That was a funny joke. And then he leads us into, dare I say, the pinnacle of this episode, nay, the pinnacle of any Glee holiday special anywhere. Time warp, be damned. Baby is cold outside, go straight to hell. Christmas wrapping, who? The Chipmunk song, open parentheses, don't be late, close parentheses. This is not Glee scraping the bottom of the barrel. This is not Glee desperate for Christmas songs. Ryan Murphy has had this saved in his arsenal. Every year for the Glee Christmas special, Brad Falchuk would knock on his office door. He'd go, Ryan, I got a great idea for the Chipmunk song, open parentheses, don't be late, close parentheses. And Ryan would say, no, no, that song is sacred, best Christmas song ever.
Mm-hmm. It's not time.
We have to save it. Exactly. He was like, it's not time yet. The timing's not right. He would lick his finger and put it to the air, close his eyes and go, not yet. He had season 3. He had the writers banging down his door, begging in tears. Michael Hitchcock vomiting in a trash can, saying, please, Ryan, we beg of you.
Yeah,
we have to do the Chipmunk song. Open parentheses, don't be late, close parentheses.
Foaming at the mouth, begging.
Please, please, it's Christmas. We have families to think about. Please, we're begging you. And Ryan said, I will not disrespect Santa Claus to waste his favorite song on this Judy Garland Star Wars reference episode. He said, write an original song instead. Extraordinary Mary, put it in there. We're not
literally
disrespecting the Chipmunks like that. And finally, after years and years of begging and waiting and wishing and hoping and praying, we finally got, God bless us everyone, a cover of the Chipmunk song on this show. This song is such ass. Even as a kid, I hated it.
I know.
Never at any point in my life did I think this song was fun.
I remember I had this record growing up, like on a record, like a record for a record player. Do you understand? I'm saying a record.
Oh, I want to go on record to say that I understand you're talking about a record.
Anyway, but I would mess with the, because the speeds on the record player, and I'd like turn it down so I could hear what their real voices sound like. And I'd be like, hack, liar.
Honestly, that is funny. Here's a question. Someone that
song
I know.
Is ass. Yeah.
Someone I know doesn't know 1970s or 80s technology. When was Alvin and the Chipmunks? I have no idea. It feels like 70s or 80s to me. Did they have to... Did they have to do it?
I will.
Did they have to record that song like singing it? Like, was the original recording of that song Christmas, Christmas time, and then they just sped it up?
Is that how that's how it sounded when I think so. I think that's how it sounded when I turned down my record. So like, I said my record.
Oh, I had a record. I gotcha. You had a record?
Like a vinyl record.
Honestly, waste of a record to put I know. The ship
I got
song
it like secondhand. I was donated. Like someone found out I had a record player because I, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I had a record player. So someone like, and I, someone just gave me a bunch of records.
And they said, I've been trying to get this turkey off my hands since it came out.
It is truly like the physical manifestation of like the old maid card. I'm like trying to get
the chipmunk song is the physical manifestation of the old maid card. Just gotta pawn it off on someone. You don't want it.
I know. It's just like at my childhood home, so I guess I pawned it off on them. So it started in 1958 and then went to 1972 and then got picked back up again on 1979 and has been going ever since.
It's from the 50s?
Yeah, man. Well, 58, so barely.
So when they recorded their lines of dialogue in that show, did they have to talk in slow motion?
I think so, because it's they provided sped up records. Yeah, I think they had to like talk really slow.
Was it? Were they first? Okay, I know. I do not know my Alvin and the Chipmunks lore. Is so much more important than this episode of Glee. Did it start as just songs and then become a TV show?
I think so. Okay, let's read.
Go on Wikipedia. I don't have the internet, so this is all in your hands.
Originally, David Seville and the Chipmunks, or simply the Chipmunks, are an American animated virtual band and media franchise first created by Ross Bazgardian for Novelty Records
from RuPaul's Drag Race
in 1958. Yeah, literally, that's what I said. The group consisted of three singing animated anthropomorphic chipmunks named Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, who originally managed by their human adopted father, David, Dave Seville. Okay. Provided the group's voices by producing sped up records of his own, a technique pioneered by the successful Witch Doctor, which the name of their like first song.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they were recording artists first.
Yeah, it looks like it. Like they were just doing
look up the TV show. Like when did that start happening?
Okay, cool. I will.
That makes a lot more sense to me that it was just, and honestly, that sounds so 1950s to me, I could scream that it was just like a weird novelty. Oh, yeah. It sounds like chipmunks are singing these songs. Yeah, go buy them.
Exactly. Where it's like they just like sped up songs and they were like, chipmunks are singing this.
It's like that opera singer who was like, I can sound like a chicken and sing opera. And everyone was like, this is the coolest thing we've ever seen. We don't have the internet.
Like, it's the old times. The TV series started in 1983.
Okay, so I feel a little vindicated, because when I think of Alvin and Chipmunks, I think of the TV show, and that is from the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was mostly like records for the record. Yeah. It was on records in their original stint, and then it was revived once they had the technology in the 80s as a TV show.
Yeah.
Got it.
Crazy. I'm sure there's more info online about how they did that. I'm sure someone who listens to the podcast loves the Alvin and the Chipmunks and can let us know. Or I can Google it.
Yeah, if you're a chipmunk head, send us that information,
baby. Is that the name of the fans? I'd love to know.
All right. On to this performance in this episode.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It is painful.
Yes. It's like on top of, I don't know, I guess it maybe would be more embarrassing if they were supposed to be sober and they were doing it earnestly. But like, you know, they're all supposed to be tipsy and they're with sexy Santa and they're trying to like impress him by singing the song on helium. Whatever. That's all fine. But Kurt trying to seduce sexy Santa during this whole number fills me with such secondhand embarrassment, especially how every time that he says, me, I want a hula hoop, he does a little hula hoop hip gyration up against Santa. Dude, you're singing the Chipmunk song. Like, it not the time or place offensive to be putting the moves on someone.
As a chiphead myself, I don't like it.
Amen. Amen. As an Alvin stan till I die, disrespectful.
Literally.
Disrespectful.
But genuinely, this is a children's song. Like, it just is, like, so gross and yucky. And, like, it is just, like, even, like, and also the thing you hate that I have now become to, like, secondhand hate. Like, the talking in the song, like, the, Kurt! I was like, if he says Kurt, that one more time, I'm gonna die. It was silly and stupid, and I hated it.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
But then for punishment, Santa robs them all blind. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's delve into the controversy of this.
I feel like I haven't seen anything about the controversy, but I think I understand it without having to see it.
Yeah. So they wake up. They got so drunk the night before. They wake up and a bunch of their furniture is gone. Oh, no. Sexy Santa got us all drunk so that he could rob us. All that, like, I'm game for sure.
Honestly, and on it, like, I think one of the funniest parts of this episode is Rachel and Santana waking up and Santana going, like, this feels terrible.
And, like that, the concept
I was laughing.
This Santa that they were like, oh, we're having such a great time. He thinks we're so cool. And then it turned out like, no, he literally just wanted to rob you. Like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Then they hear muffled screams. And Kurt is in his underwear, gagged and tied in a compromising position. And then the joke has been taken a little too far. And this is where the controversy steps in. So, yeah, we find out that Santa fully sexually assaulted Kurt. And it's more, it's, here's the thing. If we found Kurt, like, tied to a chair, and it was like Santa pretended that they were doing sexy role play, and then once he tied him up, he was like, see a sucker, robbed him, and left. Mm-hmm. That is still, you know, that's still, like, assault, but it is a little more like it's like lower stakes and can more be made a joke. But we are told that Santa one was like fully mid coitus with Kurt, like they were full role playing. And then Kurt even mentions that Santa kept kissing him once the gag was in. So, like, it's not as if Santa was like, oh, Kurt, like, you want to hook up? First, I'm going to tie you to this chair, and then I'm going to, like, give you a show. And then he ties into the chair and leaves. Like, no, Santa fully tied him up, still did sex stuff with Kurt against Kurt's will, then robbed him and left.
Yeah. And Kurt even says something like, it, like, started to get rough, but he, like, wouldn't stop. Like, something along those lines.
Yeah. He says that he got a lot less jolly. And then he mentions that he said it was, he liked something about, like, he liked kissing me without with the gag in because it felt like I didn't have any teeth.
Because it felt like it had no teeth, yeah.
Yeah. It's made pretty clear that, you know, sex stuff was happening. So, not a great way to end this plotline, and especially confusing because, as I mentioned, the joke is already strong. It's the strongest joke in the plotline. That he got them drunk, made them sing the Chipmunk song, made them make complete fools of themselves, and was just laughing to himself the whole time, knowing he was going to rob him the next day. And I think maybe, you know, Jane Lynch mentions, America's Jane Lynch mentions at the beginning of this episode that it didn't air because it was so shockingly offensive. So I wonder if they put this in because they're like, it's one of the shockingly offensive parts. And, like, sure. But it just doesn't work. Like, it's not funny. It's not that funny.
Yeah.
And the joke already works without it. So, like, why put this questionable thing in there if the joke is already landing?
Yeah. Like, I think the joke would have landed, like, with all of them waking up and, like, you know, piles of tinsel, you know, hung over out of their minds. Like, that, the joke is there, you know? And, like, you know, even, like, I don't know. Maybe the offensive part could have been, like, I don't know, seeing Santa be that terrible. Like, you know.
Maybe but, the offensive part is the fact that they sang the Chipmunk song on this show. That's offensive
to me.
You don't need anything else.
No. And that's the thing. You don't. And, like, this, if they were going for offensive, is overboard. And also, I don't know that that's really what they were going for. I think they thought it was funny. You know? Like, I'm not sure. Well,
I think they thought it was both. I think it's supposed to be both. Yeah. It's supposed to be offensive, but it's also supposed to be funny.
But it's not funny to me. I'm not laughing. The funny part is Santana and Rachel waking up with their high heels still on, covered in tinsel, being hungover. That's the funny part. This is not the funny part. It's shocking to behold, but it's also, like, upsetting. And, like, people genuinely, like, you know, are, like, taken advantage of by people who they trust as, like, sexual partners. And, like, this shit happens. And, like, that's not so funny, you know?
Yeah. So that's New York. Overall, a bit of a snooze.
Yeah.
Bye, New York.
Bye, New York.
Let's take a, we'll take a holiday break. And then go to McKinley.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right, it's Christmas at McKinley, baby. And we're doing a green Christmas decorating contest, and we're also doing a living nativity. Hear me out. Bonkers crazy that a school, state-funded school, would be doing a living nativity. That is not separation of church and state. I do not think that would fly. Literally, at my schools growing up, we weren't even allowed to talk about Santa. Like, we would have winter parties because Santa was too close to Christmas, which was a Christian holiday, so we couldn't even talk about Santa Claus. And I grew up in Arizona, like a very red state. And you're telling me that they full had a Jesus Christ nativity at this school? Sure.
Yeah, right. My school was certainly not that strict about, like, holiday stuff. It was certainly, like, you know, we only talked about Christmas, but we still didn't even do this. You know, I don't even think I ever participated in a living nativity ever, because my family's not particularly religious, so I never did one. Did you ever do a living nativity?
Oh, yeah. We used to do, our neighborhood would do a living nativity every year. It was like a, you know, anyone was invited. If you didn't want to participate, like, no, you're fine. But we would have, like, a neighborhood living nativity deal that was just the kids, and the parents would, like, come watch. And then we used to do it with my cousins at my grandparents' house until we all got old enough that it was no longer cute, and then we stopped doing it.
Totally. Who did you play?
I remember, like, the last, I remember in the neighborhood one, I was in the lower end of the spectrum age-wise, so it ended when I was still pretty young. I remember it was an angel one year, because it was very much like you'd have Mary and Joseph, and you'd have the three wise men, and then everyone else was just, like, divided down the middle between angels and shepherds. So you'd have, like, 10 angels and 15 shepherds. I remember being an angel one year. And then I remember being a shepherd and, like, thinking I was going to steal the frickin' show. I was like, I'm going to be a comedy genius. I'm going to be amazing. Just, like, hamming it up so much, being so awestruck by the angels, fully sacrilegious, taking the respect away from the point of doing a living nativity. Just trying to have everyone be like, look at how funny that shepherd is, so shocked by seeing an angel. I was annoying as a kid. And then my grandparents won. The only one that I remember is I was Joseph one year. And my cousin was Jesus, and she came out in just her underwear because she wanted to be committed to the part.
How old was she?
She was like three, like oh, three or four. Okay. And she was like determined. She was like, he's a baby who would not be wearing clothes. And so she came out her underwear. And then my other cousin, he was like one or two. So he was too young to like fully know what was going on. So he was supposed to just be one of the shepherds. But we had a bunch of stuffed animals as the, you know, the creatures in the in the stable.
Like the little lambs,
He just kept walking in and taking stuff to animals and leaving. And he would like leave the room and then he'd sneak back in and grab another one as we're like reading out of the Bible, like trying to have this family moment. And he like sneaks back on, grabs another stuffed animal, walks out of the room.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. I do remember my ward Christmas party one year. I must have been like 15. I had two of my girlfriends who were in the ward, and we were just like taking pictures because it was like, you know, 2012 and that's what you did. And we had like, we were just like running around taking pictures, and there was like a nativity setup. So we like got into the nativity setup. And I remember my one friend like laid in the little manger and the baby, what does the baby sit in? I don't know.
Is that a manger? Manger. It's a manger.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It's like a little trough.
And I was like, away in a manger, laying baby. On. Hell yeah.
Also,
and then
did
I was like,
you say a casket?
The hay. I didn't know
sorry,
the
let's
name.
Take this back. The open casket that was Jesus' birth. Everyone could come
you know
and pay their
mean?
Respects.
I think I'm thinking basket.
Okay. Gotcha.
That was an honest mistake. But, and I was like laying on a hay bale, and like we were all just like being stupid in the manger. And then a lady in the ward was like, that was really offensive. And we were like, literally what? Like, she was really upset. And so we were like, oh
she
my gosh,
said,
I'm so sorry.
That was the most sacrilegious horror show I have ever
That's
seen.
That's exactly what she said. No, but she really was like, we shouldn't be messing around like this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We were just having fun.
That's why I think living nativities should be either like full adults or like children.
Yeah.
Because
like teens are gonna flip.
Yeah, it's a story that is very meaningful and very important to a large percentage of people. So either like have little kids do it who are so innocent that even when they act like idiots, it's like, well, they don't know any better. Or have like adults who are gonna take it seriously. Because like I do. I mean, if I had seen a living nativity where it was a bunch of teenagers and they're kind of being stupid, I wouldn't have cared. But I also do understand, like, I get why that's upsetting to people. And I don't think they're in the wrong for being like, this is something that's very important to me. And you're kind of making fun of it. And
Exactly.
So shoot, I guess unique singing Joy Child did make sense.
Honestly, and I do understand, like, especially like, I don't know. I feel like religion is such a personal thing, you know, and like someone who like maybe, you know, if me as a teenager, I certainly didn't understand it, and I didn't understand what it would mean to someone to like go into a church and to like be silly like that. And like, I'm sure to see that was like, oh, don't do that. Like that hurts something that like hurts my heart and something that I hold really dear. And I was like, at the time, I was really, you know, I didn't want to be offensive at all. But I was also like, I don't know. That's one of those things that I feel like you don't want to mess with. So maybe I do understand. Well, I guess I have been a part of a living nativity.
You didn't even know. Let's talk about the living nativity. Let's talk about the kiddie stuff. I do think that this living nativity kiddie storyline is my personal highlight of the episode. I like it the most.
Yeah.
It brings, especially with like beginning of season four, Kitty, who is just a mean, like one dimensional mean girl. It brings a lot of really beautiful depth to her character. Specifically, it's not just, oh, I think it could have been really easy for them to be like, oh, well, you know, Kitty is supposed to be a Christian character, and so let's just have this episode be about how she doesn't want the nativity to be messed up. I think it is so much smarter and so much kinder to Kitty as a character that it's not, oh, she wants to take charge of the nativity, make sure no one messes it up. It's no, the nativity is such an important story to her that she is like, I literally am not worthy to participate in this.
Yeah.
Like when she says to Marley, she says, I'm someone who, like, the Virgin Mary is very important to me, and I know what it means to have the love of Christ in your heart, and I don't have it.
Yeah.
I actually, like, I don't know. It's a surprising amount of emotional depth in this episode that has, like, no emotional depth. To, A, have Kitty recognize that she is a mean person and that she doesn't really live her espoused Christian values, and for her in a moment of reflection to be like, I don't feel worthy to, you know, participate in this story about Christ.
Yeah.
And then for the New Directions to just, like, make it their mission of the week to make Kitty feel like she is worthy and that, like, she does have value as a person and should be able to participate in this thing.
I like that, too. I feel like even, like, I mean, as a person who was, like, formerly religious and is, like, coming into a new unreligious time in my life, like, I have totally felt that way in the past where I'm like, I know what it means to, like, especially around Christmas. I remember last year was really hard for me because I was like so many of my, like, holiday values are around this thing that I don't really like doesn't really serve me anymore. So I felt like really, like, I felt a lot of shame about that. So I was like, what's this time of the year even for? Like, why, like, what's going on? Like, I feel like shit. Like, this used to, like, feel so good and now I feel so bad. And, like, you know, it's like last year was really hard for me. So I honestly, like, I feel like this is a, like, such a holiday, like, feeling and, you know, an aspect of Kitty that I think, I'm glad they explored on this show. I think it was really beautiful. And, you know, seeing her say that was really special. And, like, having her club be, like, you know, rally behind her like that was sweet. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. And I also... I do stand by the fact that I'm like, why is this school doing such like, Jesus-centered Christmas celebration. Like, I'm pretty sure there's laws in our government that that's not supposed to happen. But, like, if we have to have it, I do just, like, this whole message of, you know, Christmas, Christmas is a time period of, well, it should be a time period of, like, building bridges and, like, forgiving each other. And we kind of see that with the Glee Club and Kitty, that they're building a bridge and trying to look out for her, even though she is such a B word to them, this whole, the entirety of season four when this is taking place. And then also just, not to, like, get too religious on this podcast, but this episode makes us do it, that, like, the beauty of the nativity is not, like, and Christ came down, this perfect person, and he came down in a castle and was surrounded by all the amazing, perfect people, and they all were so righteous and amazing. It's like Christ was born in a barn in, like, the lowliest of circumstances because he was being born to save everyone, even the people who are, like, quote unquote, the lowliest among us. Like, you do not have to be the Virgin Mary. You don't have to be, like, so righteous and pure and the best person ever to, I'm like, truly, I apologize to non-religious people listening to this. I'm not trying to make this a sermon, but, like, that is the message of the nativity, is, like, Christ came for everyone. He did not just come for, you know, the Virgin Marys of the world. He came for everyone. And so to have that message then go on to Kitty, that it's like, no, you are worthy. You are worthy to participate in this. You have value as a person. You, like, are great the way you are. I think it's, like, a cool little character study with Kitty and her belief system surrounding this little show they're doing.
Yeah. I love that.
It also has the best numbers in the episode.
Easy. Honestly, the funniest jokes are in this part of the episode as well. And honestly, like, two fun things. Like, one, they're casting for a nativity. Like, I feel like that obviously doesn't fit into school, but it's, like, a fun activity for them to do that causes some drama. And, like, the, you know, the Christmas tree decorating, I don't know, it's fun. I think it's silly and cute. Yeah. And like having them sing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, like honestly, a toe tapper, and I'm into it. And yeah. This part of the episode is the fun part. I could have done with a Blaine Yule log plot, but you know.
Add those back. C'est la vie.
Yeah, literally. This episode was unaired on purpose, so whatever. Just kidding. But yeah.
Focusing on the nativity stuff. Let's talk about Mary's boy child. Unique, yeah. Marley, and Tina want to audition all together for Mary. They invite Kitty. Kitty says no because she doesn't want to audition because she doesn't feel like she like gets her place.
Yes.
And they, the three of them, perform Mary's boy child. What did you think of this number?
I love this number. I think it's awesome. I think it's super fun. I think it's like silly, but also like gorgeous and amazing. And the song is beautiful and I'm into it. I think this whole thing is fun. I think their costumes are cute. I think I love the idea that these three are just so cute. They want to audition together. I think it's adorable. I'm into it.
Yeah. I love this number. Also a banger of a song. Frankly, they are scraping the bottom of the barrel in this episode. This song is the exception.
That's true.
And Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Both those songs, Christmas classics, love both of them. I did read a review of this episode that made me laugh, where they talk about this number, and they talk about how good this number is, how it's a lot of fun, and they say, and Marley and Tina do their absolute best to not be offensive with their island accents.
Oh, literally. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's for sure.
It's like, the way the lyrics are written in this song... is they're written to be delivered in a Jamaican accent. And you can tell that Melissa Benoist does her absolute best to, like, deliver the lyrics as written, but not do too much with them that it becomes uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I guess I've never heard this song before. That makes sense.
All right. Now let's talk about Love Child, Born in Poverty.
This is my song in the episode. This is my, like, not to spoil my best song in the episode, but this is heaps of fun to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Unique in this beautiful sequin ball gown with her, like, belly and, like, her giving birth on the table and, like, pulling out the baby in the little, like, sequin shorts and then them holding hands with the little baby. It is tons of fun. I was like guffaw laughing. It's just so cute. And also, like, you know, Alex Newell is a gift to the show that it, like, they are way too underutilized. Like, what a gift.
We haven't gotten a proper Unique anything in a long time.
A great Unique episode, this one.
And it was so fun to see a big Unique production number that.
Yeah.
They just sell so well. I agree that this is, it's not a Christmas song. It's not supposed to be a Christmas song, but like, it's not a Christmas song. So it's not my best Christmas song of the episode, but I think number wise, it is the highlight of the episode.
Yeah. It is and literally fun. Like the three of them, like Unique, Tina and Marley, like dressed in the sparkles, everyone else in like in their like silly like Bethlehem wise and beards.
Yeah.
I'm screaming. So funny. I love it.
It also is like a little bit sweet to me that while this was the New Directions idea, that Coach Beast and Mr. Shu are worried enough about Kitty that they go along with it, that they fully are pretending that it is the rehearsal, and Will like gives those fake notes to the kids where he's like, I thought it was great. Just writer, I think you should deliver the baby a little bit earlier. It's just, I don't know. This is the stuff I like about Christmas episodes. To see all these people band together to gaslight this girl.
I know, it's honestly sweet.
For her own good.
No, it's totally. Gaslighting for your own good is good. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first, kids.
Yeah. I like that number. Like I said, it probably could have been more ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun as is.
Yeah. I think it's a blast. I really love it.
All right. Let's pivot a little bit. Talk about the green Christmas decorating.
We've got everyone working on their Christmas trees, but we're doing it in a green way. So the new directions are using like found items and like things that can be recycled and like, you know, bird seed and things. Mm-hmm. And the whole school is doing it. They're all working for like this like angel trophy. And Tina really wants it because, you know, this is before Tina's prom queen and she is still on her reign of terror.
A menace.
Honestly, a fun callback.
A good, unique episode. A great Tina episode. Truly, like, Jenna Ushkowitz is putting her whole soul into this. She has that beautiful, she has that beautiful reversal when they're in Christmas Club, which Blaine says, this Christmas Club looks a lot like Glee Club. Another fun meta joke. But they mention that the nativity was destroyed and Tina screams. It goes, Christmas is canceled! And like falls on the person next to her. And then immediately they mention, oh, but instead we're going to do a living nativity. And then Tina gets so excited and starts clapping and goes, Christmas is saved! She's hysterical in this episode. Yeah. One of her best episodes yet.
She is. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And she's like, very, very strong. Like, you know, the stuff with Becky as well, I think like, just like, Jen Ushkowitz is showing like huge emotional range in this episode, from like, you know, being propositioned by Becky to like giving Becky the trophy in the end. Like her and Sam both, like, I feel like go on a fun journey. But Jenna Ushkowitz is like putting her whole foot in this. She's doing a great job.
We got to talk about the stuff with Becky in this episode.
Yeah.
I agree that Jenna Ushkowitz is putting her whole foot in it. She's doing a great job. The treatment of Becky in this episode doesn't sit super well with me.
It doesn't sit super well with me either.
So, just like as a precursor, we're no experts in anything ever. Like, ever. And also, you know, like, I don't have like family members who have Down syndrome. Like, it's not something that I'm super well-versed mm-hmm. in. So I don't want to, like, say too much and, like, put my foot in my mouth and act like I'm, like, well-researched and know all this stuff about something that I don't know a lot about. Becky just feels super infantilized in this episode, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Definitely.
And then they also, like, Becky's always been kind of, like, a bad bitch, you know? Yeah. Like, crazy says what's on her mind. In this episode, they take it to a degree that feels weird. That feels uncomfortable to me.
Yeah. I agree. And then, like, I feel like even the ending with her being baby Jesus in the end is, like, doesn't sit super well with me either. Because it feels like this is all, I don't know. Like, they see her as a child. You know,
they're infantilizing her 100%.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
Sorry, finish your thought. I fully interrupted
you. No. But it's like, no. But that's the thing, is like, they see her as a child. She like propositions them in the beginning, like very sexually and very forwardly and like very offensively. And then they're like, well, she's a child. So like, let's have her be baby Jesus. And then they like bring her onto the scene and they're like, oh my God, Becky, come in. Oh my gosh. Like, this is perfect. Like, treating her like a baby.
That is exactly what is gross to me, is what I think works about Becky in the show usually is many times in media, characters with Down syndrome are portrayed as like perfect little angels. They're mm-hmm. portrayed, it's very condescending. It like treats them not as a full person and instead as essentially like a little child, like a little sweetheart. And one of the things that I have always really loved about the portrayal of Becky is that she's not that. Like, Becky's a bitch. Like, Becky is mean. Becky is crude. We also see moments when Becky is. Yeah. And we see moments where she is very sweet and she is very nice. But, like, that's not her whole personality. She's got a lot more going mm-hmm. on. And then this episode, it takes all of her kind of, like, rougher edges and turns them up to 11, where they no longer feel like a real person. It feels more just like a joke that it's like we're making this person say this stuff. And then the way they resolve it by being like, but it's okay that Becky did all that stuff and said all that stuff because she's just sweet little baby Jesus and she doesn't know any better is yeah. so condescending and so yeah. gross and yeah. so like, how are these the same writers who have been writing Becky for 4 years and like have always seemed to get her as a character? And they even call it out where Tina mentioned, so the New Directions win the Christmas tree decoration contest and Becky's really upset that she didn't win. And Tina mentions to Artie that they are going to give the prize, which is that like whatever glass tree topper angel, they're going to give it to Becky. And Artie says to Tina, that really walks a line between being sweet and being condescending, which feels like the writer's calling out like, oh, we shouldn't infantilize Becky. But then Tina says, don't worry, Artie, we have something else, as if the something else is going to save them from infantilizing her. Just kidding. The something else is they're inviting her to pretend to be a literal infant in the living nativity.
Yeah.
It's gross. Yeah. I really don't like it at all.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad you brought it up. And I would love to hear other people's thoughts on it as well, because I totally agree. I'd love to hear other people's thoughts and I'd love to like keep having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have thoughts on that, you can send them to us.
On to other things though.
Yeah.
There's a funny stuff in this episode. Let's talk about Rockin' Around the Tree. Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
I know you liked this number. I don't dislike it. It's just yeah. like nothing special to me. I like totally. The montage. When we see the montage of all the clubs at McKinley decorating the trees, that's a lot of fun.
That's what I love. I love like the football team like standing up.
Putting jock straps like, on it.
Stupid, gross stuff mm-hmm. on it. Like jock straps and like, you know, their recycled gear on it. I think that's funny. I love the 420 club like, you know, eating pot brownies around the Christmas tree.
They have the sign in the background that has a menorah on it with like a marijuana leaf on the menorah and it says Happy Chronica.
Oh my God. I literally didn't even see that. I'm obsessed. Yeah, I think I agree. Like this number is not like, you know, it's nothing special, but it's also like pretty fun. And, you know, like that's, I feel like we've had this conversation for a long time about Christmas episodes where it like, it doesn't have to be anything other than just fun. And that's how I felt mm-hmm. about this song is I was like, it did what it was supposed to do and it was fun.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I felt.
Yeah. Sorry, continue.
No. That's all I got.
Oh, great. That's all I had to say too.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
that's the thing is this hard. This episode is hard to recall for me. I'm like, I'm remembering bits of it. I'm remembering some jokes that I enjoyed, but like the whole thing is so inconsequential and like weird that it's like hard to piece together in my mind where things fell and like my thoughts on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It feels like a plot. It feels like an episode where every plot is the B or C plot. There's not a single A plot.
Completely. Completely.
Like I think of A Very Glee Christmas. And very clearly, I'm like, oh, the Grinch with Sue is the Grinch. I remember that. And there's obviously other stuff in that episode, yeah. but like, I remember that. And then I think of Extraordinary Merry Christmas. And I think of, oh, the Judy Garland, like, black and white yeah. Christmas special. Yeah. I think of Glee, actually. There's plenty of stuff. I'm like, It's a Wonderful Life with Artie. The totally. Hanukkah, Light the Menorah with the Puckerman Brothers. This episode, it's just kind of like a bunch of vague ideas. Like, I remember yeah, that they did totally. A chipmunk song, and then that's kind of it.
I remember Kurt waking up in the morning. I remember, you know.
I remember Boy Child.
The Sexy Santa.
Love Child.
I remember Love Child. I didn't remember Boy Child. I wish I did.
I misspoke. I meant Love Child.
I know. But that's the thing. You know, like, yeah. This episode is weird, and it's supposed to be, and, you know, I don't know, like you said earlier, it is not as bad as I remembered.
But if you are doing a Christmas episode outside of canon that you're pretending did yeah. not air because it was too ridiculous, like make it ridiculous. You literally could do anything and have no consequence. Have Santa Claus himself show up. The Glee Club somehow goes to the North Pole and they like have to perform at a show choir competition to save Christmas. Like that kind of show would be so ridiculous and so stupid that I think it would be more fun than this. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Not to bring Community into this, but Community does a full Christmas episode that is a claymation parody of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The entire episode is claymation. I wish that Glee would have taken a big swing like that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like this episode is not bad. But it's just so wildly disappointing considering what a big, like how big of a sandbox they gave themselves to play in by saying it took place outside of canon. They should have done more with it.
And they haven't done anything like that. Like, they haven't done anything like that yet. They could have done anything. Anyway,
literally, that's all I'm telling you. This episode. A show choir competition in the North Pole to save Christmas. That's what this episode should have been. That's this episode should have been. All right, let's talk about Away in a Manger. Let's bring it on home. I don't have a lot to say.
I don't have a lot to say about it either. Frankly, it's, you know, obviously Traditional is my favorite band. I've always said that.
Favorite band of all time.
I'm always saying
song,
that.
This song, for real, is a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song.
I do love Kitty showing up as Mary going, Virgin in the house, bitches. That's funny. It is funny.
I liked that. And like, you know, I thought it was like cute that they, the New York kids got a job that they enjoyed. Mm-hmm. It was cute that they did their own sort of manger-ish.
I am like, what is that job?
I don't know. And I've never seen it.
Go to Saks Fifth Avenue. Do they have live people in the windows just in fancy dresses?
What is that job? I'm sure it's happened. Remember, didn't we talk about this the other day? No, we didn't. I heard about this on Celebrity Memoir Book Club where Gina Davis like convinced like Barney's or Saks Fifth Avenue to like let her be a mannequin in the window, and then she got a modeling contract.
Shoot. Well, Rachel Bear is trying to be the next Gina Davis, I guess. That's honestly, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. Maybe this does exist. Maybe a living mannequin thing that's more common than I thought.
Maybe.
I will say, I don't know, the like nativity parts of the song, I'm down for. Because I mean, like, it's Away in a Manger, so like, what else are they going to sing at the nativity besides like Silent Night? The clip of Rachel singing in the window and then like making meaningful eye contact with the little girl does make me roll my eyes a little bit.
I know. Kate and I kept joking that she was going to punch the window.
The little girl's like, you suck. Well, bow. You just make me hate Christmas.
Like she leans forward. She goes.
I just like. I think I'm just sick of late Glee Rachel. And so anytime she has a moment where she is the hero of society, I'm like, get her off my screen.
I know. And, you know, I do feel similar to about this song as I do, like, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, where it's just like, this is a classic Christmas song. I'm not asking for it to be anything crazy. Mm-hmm. And, like, ending with, like, you know, a cute, reverent song about the nativity is sweet, and it, like, you know, is nice to listen to. So I'm not pissed at it. I'm into it.
Yeah. Well, that's previously unaired Christmas special, everyone. Did you know that they wrote this in 2012 and then just shot the whole thing and then didn't air it till now? Wild.
That's so wild.
Want to hear something so crazy?
Tell me.
When I rewatched this episode this morning, I was like, I swear there's a scene. Where's Joe? I swear I remember a scene with Joe in it and being surprised that they brought Samuel Larson back to film this scene. And then I realized that I fully dreamed that. I watched this episode for the first time and was like, I wish they had made a reference to the fact that like Joe and Sugar should be here, but they're not. And then that night had a dream where they did make a reference to the fact that Joe and Sugar should have been there. And then Joe was there. And I thought that that dream was reality.
Oh.
I guess I just really miss my favorite character in all of Glee, Joe Hart. The most interesting character to ever come out of Glee. he just is so complex. He has so many layers.
Totally.
So much going on. Absolutely. Big fan of his.
I've always said that.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Dum, dum, dum.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
What was your best part?
My best number is, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. I actually think I like that more than Love Child. I know I said earlier that Love Child was the best number, but I'm taking it back. I really like this number. So I'm saying
this one. I'm glad you agreed for me.
My best part is I love the Kitty stuff in this episode. Mm-hmm. It also is like a nice character study into Kitty, that it's like one of the reasons that she is so vicious to other people is because she has like a self-hatred within herself that she just feels. Yeah, she's got that Christian guilt and she's lashing out at other people. I just think all of that is really lovely and very like the meaning of Christmas, to take someone who you don't really like, but be like, I'm going to do a nice thing for this person I don't like because it's Christmas time. Dang it. Peace on earth.
Dang it.
Lena, what's your favorite? Well, your best part, pardon me.
Well, my best part is Love Child, certainly. And then what's my best part of the episode? Not song-wise. I don't really remember anything about this episode. I like the Jane Lynch opening. I think it's funny. And
honestly,
I think the
great
idea
pick.
Of this episode is a good idea. And I, you know, it is... titillating to my mind to think about. What is your worst part, Ian?
I think my worst part is the infantilization of one Becky... What's her last name?
Jackson.
Oh, duh. One Becky Jackson.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. What about you?
Yeah. Probably Kurt's assault, frankly.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I think those two are some good worst part picks. Crazy worst parts. You know, sometimes I feel like there's like one big stinker in the episode. This episode has got a few. So that sucks for this episode. Hell yeah.
All right. Do you have an assignment of the week? It's hard when we're four Christmas episodes deep keep coming up with Christmas songs that we haven't already come up with and haven't been on the show.
Let's
I do have one, though.
About it. Tell me.
Mine... I have, like, so if this was winter 2013, I wouldn't do this because this song didn't exist. But who cares? It's outside of canon, so I'm doing it now. I would sing the I Don't Know What Christmas Is song from the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. That song is so good. It's also currently charting, which good for them. It was written for the holiday special. It's excellent. I listen to it all the time. It's my most listened to Christmas song this year.
I'm obsessed. I'm going to sing "Tis the Damn Season," so we could call it even. You could call me babe for the weekend. "Tis the Damn Season" by Taylor Swift. Mm.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Well, that's a Christmas wrapping on the Glee Christmas specials.
Yeah.
They're over and done with.
Bah humbug. No.
Goodbye. Ooh, let's rank them.
Whoa.
So we got A Very Glee Christmas. We got Extraordinary Mary. We got Glee Actually. And we got this one. I'm going to be honest right here, right now.
Okay.
They might descend in quality with every season.
I'm thinking that. I think that literally two, three, my four, ranking five. Is, yeah.
I think 3 and 4 are a toss-up for me.
Yeah.
I 2 is my favorite. This is my least favorite. There's stuff about 3 that I really like, but then like I think the black and white sequence drags on a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 has some lows. Like, it has some vignettes that I don't care for. But then it has, like, the It's a Wonderful Life vignette, which I absolutely love. So, I don't know. 3 and 4 are kind of tied for second. And then this one's in last.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I feel the exact same way. I mean, I think I've talked about this every single holiday episode. I'm, like, not a holiday girl. Like, mm-hmm. holiday episodes are, like, not always my jam. They're not really, like, they're, the audience is not for me. Like, I'm not the audience for these mm-hmm. episodes. So, but I think I agree with that exact order.
Sweet. Well, you heard it here first,
everyone.
But
this one's the worst one, for sure. It is
weird stinker. That they never, I guess it's like, how many Halloween songs are there? Because they never did another Halloween episode.
I was just thinking of that a couple of minutes ago.
I do think it's because the Christmas songbook is like, there's a million Christmas songs. Yeah. But Halloween, like, what? Are they going to sing the freaking theme to Halloween?
They're going to sing...
Just an a cappella arrangement.
David boop, as boop, Pumpkins. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. Yeah. That's... Is that a song, though?
Any questions? Yeah.
You're going to do Spooky Scary Skeletons and Shivers Down Your Spine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to do... I always feel like... That's... Not to make this a Halloween episode. That's one of my pet peeves, is every time you buy, like, a Halloween party mix, back in the days when you would buy CDs, and there would be, you know, 3 Halloween songs, and then the rest you were like, is this a Halloween song?
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, Somebody's Watching Me, and you're like, I guess. Or like Every Breath You Take, and you were like, sure. Any song that they could kind of be like, oh no, it's a little bit creepy.
Yeah. Okay. Anything like vaguely creepy is like a Halloween mm-hmm. song to, you know, early 2000s CDs.
And then it would always, they were always so desperate to fill the track listing that by the time you got to track 13, it was straight up just be like, a witch's cackle.
I know. It's or just like bubbling cauldron sound effects. Literally.
But you know what we were robbed of? The Monster Mash Glee cast version. What I wouldn't give.
Yeah, that mash. Especially like
that
literally
song
Corey
is
Monteith's,
genuinely such
like,
a banger.
Nickname was Frankenteen.
Yeah.
They never did Monster Mash. Get out of here.
Come on. Glee cover of Monster Mash. We do have a Glee cover of Thriller, so we got that. What are the other like Halloween songs? That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Because Spooky
know.
Scary Skeletons
I would need
was
more
after
time to
Glee.
Think about it.
Shoot. Well, as far as Christmas goes, they really did all they could. They put every song they possibly could find, even the Chipmunk song. So,
yeah.
About time to close the book on that one.
Oh my God. All right. If you have thoughts on this episode that you'd like to share, I would love to hear them. I think there's lots to talk about in this episode, and I'd love to hear all of your thoughts. So if you have them, you can send them to recoveringleak@gmail.com. And I'll read them. You can follow us on social media if you'd like. We are at recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and we are at recoveringgleek on Twitter. If you want to support our podcast, you can do so for free on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a review, tell us what you like, and help us out that way. Or if you have a couple spare dollars, you can sign up for our Patreon. We do Patreon bonus exclusive episodes every month. We do videos of our podcast. We do ad-free listening on the Patreon, and we have tons of fun. If you are part of the upper tier, our best friend of the podcast, we give you a little Patreon shout out at the end of our maxisodes. This week, it is my turn to try and say all of our best friends of the podcast as fast as we can. Here's a big thank you to, ready, set, go, Evan, Keely, Justice, Sophia, Willie, Evie, Sarah, Camlin, Danica, Shaylin, Salty Boy, Hannah, Eli, Zanzba, Zabana, Mary, Kay, Atticus, Brittany, Meg, Ava, Carolina, Reagan, Meredith, Chlorheel, Katie, Alex, Josette, Tori, Emmy, Marcus, Lowe, Ethan, Danielle, Brisa, Maggie, Ian, Sutton, Madeline. No, it's Madeline. She literally told us on the mini-show the other day. Tiffany, Alani, Rachel, Elise, Kieran, Diane, Ellerane, Jeanette, Benjamin, Suzanne, Blanton, Lola, Ben, Alice, B, Bamitsam, Katie, Fans, and Nadia, hey, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Ali, Joseph, Jackson, Tori, Golly, Caitlin, Patrice, Garbage, Maddie, Abby, Kodiak, Kirsten, Sori, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Sarah, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Eve, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Del, Ari, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Elijah, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor, Kimberly, Carlin, Frankie, Dana, Chase, Finley, Joseph, Jocelyn, Margaret, Despina, Liz, Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana, Marin, Han, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Eva, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Laura, Marcus, Lisa, I Am Four Eyes, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elise, Tori, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Charlie, Lily, Melanie, Yunula, Samantha, Sam, Aubrey, Stephanie, Kat, Kaylee, Haley, Tiffany, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amir, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Andy, Kenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Michael, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Allison, stop!
Woo! A minute 44, baby. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, but I think I'll miss this one this year. All right, happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
See you at the Minnesota.
Yeah, oh my gosh, happy holidays.
On when's that Minnesota airing? December 21st on winter solstice. How exciting.
Holy moly.
Buckle
longest
up.
Longest day of the year. Bundle up. Unless you're Ian and you're in Mexico.
Yeah, unless it's
or
so
it's just
hot
not cool where you are. I sometimes
sweat.
Do not understand hemispheres.
Yeah, unless you're a southern hemisphere, then happy summertime, baby. Woo!
Happy summertime.
The crazy thing is, Mexico is the northern hemisphere. So I go to these places and I'm sweating in the middle of, I mean, not the middle of winter, but like the almost winter, wondering how hot it must be in July. Oh, my word. Yeah. Anyways, thank you all for being here. Have a good holiday season. We'll see you soon. Leave some cookies and milk out for us because we know where you live.
Yeah, because we will be visiting your house.
We see you while you're sleeping. We know when you're awake. And we're going to break into your house and eat your food.
If you guys want to, please come see us at 54 Below July. Just kidding. January. It's way sooner than that. January 29th. You can live stream it. Let us know. And if you're there, we would love to meet you after. I got to meet a few friends of the podcast last time, and that was, like, honestly one of the best moments of my whole freaking life. So if you're there, please come say hi. Love you guys.
Love you so much.
Here is a holiday kiss on your holiday forehead if you celebrate.
Woo! Bye! Woo.
Bye! Love ya!
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
You know, if they're so desperate for Halloween songs, you know what creepy song they should put on those mixtapes?
What?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. They got I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me and Every Breath You Take. Shoot, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows even bad or good, so it would be good for goodness sake. You better watch out.
You better not cry.
You better not pout.
You better not pout.
I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That song's about a man who's going to kill you.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.